You a question. Good morning. Good morning. If you can hear me, press 1. Great. Great, great, great. Wonderful. Okay. This one is working. Father God, I want to thank you this morning. I want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You see, brothers and sisters, there are things in life, and you're going to find out in your own ministry, that you best do them yourself. And then you know exactly how they work. And you don't have to be reliant upon some of the terror I've had to experience with this. And certain things in your ministry, you don't trust anybody to do. You understand me? You do it. Part of the reason I'm going through this is I trusted others to do. And I, you know, it's just how it is. You live and you learn. And plus, God, remember, God makes us. And in the making, especially so those of you that are, you got baby, infant ministries right now. You've just given birth to them. And I want to make sure and help you not to have to go through some of the things I went through. People thinking, you know, that I'm not trying to build a church or anything. I'm trying to build God's people. I done built churches. And they're still in existence. And they be on my program. But I knew better. I knew better than to let some demons have, you just got to watch out for the devil. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Yesterday, I'm going to have a lot of time to talk about this later on. Hear this. I am now moving under an apostolic mantle. You see, you don't come to Christ to stay the same. But as God needs you, he'll call you to work in whatever five-fold ministry office he needs you to work in. And that's why I was trying to make sure you don't get stuck. You don't get stuck. And the other thing, other part of that, you must be confident of your own calling. You must be immovable, always abounding in the call that God has on your life. Amen. That's something you need to remember forever. Then you're not tricked up and stuck up by the devil at any point or phase in your walk. God calls you. That's why when you see me going through all this, getting attacked by witches and Jezebel, it doesn't bother me because witches didn't call me, Jezebel didn't call me, Satan didn't call me, devils and demons didn't call me. God called me. And if God called me, I have to be confident. One, in the fact that he knows where I am, what I'm doing at all times. And two, whatever it is I got to go through, I got to go through that in order to get to the next place where God needs me to be. So I'm in the process of helping to develop a couple of ministries, more than one at the same time. And that's when God let me know that I have you in an apostolic, an apostolic movement. Feel my gifts and callings. They'll always be the same, but you won't be the same place in them. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And if you don't grow, and if you're not growing, you're stuck. And nobody's going to drag you along. That has to be something that you yourself are willing to cooperate with God to have, possess, do, be, become, whatever it is. But I'm going to play this song, and the next voice that you hear will be that of Minister Hill. Mr. Hill, I apologize to you, but yesterday was just one of them days. But I tell you what, I sat down, took everything apart. I dismantled everything because I'm reconfiguring the whole ministry anyway. And piece by piece, I put this together. And God was showing me, I gave this to you to do in the first place. I didn't call you, even with your husband who you love, I didn't call you with him. I called you just like I called Abraham alone. And then I put y'all together. And then I had called him when he was a little Catholic altar boy. And I brought him out of Catholicism. But he didn't call him with me. He called him alone. He called me alone. And then he put us together to make a team. Because he sends them out in twos. I'm going to play this song. The next voice you hear that you're going to hear will be that of Minister Hill. Once again, I apologize, Minister Hill. I you know, praise God.
Empty, bro. Emotion. Thank you.
Linda Silibale, lost in Levi.
Uh-oh, Minister Hill?
I'm here.
Oh, it's yours.
Okay, I was waiting to hear the thing say I'm muted. I never did. But good morning.
Good morning,
Dr. Erica. Good morning, Jesus Believers.
I said,
uh-oh, because I never did hear I'm muted. So I'm waiting on you and you're waiting on me.
Oh, no,
so
I had opened you up a long time ago.
Oh, I had to go let the dog out and stuff, so I wasn't here. I didn't hear it.
Okay. I had opened
okay,
up.
Okay, but I'm ready.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, I thank you. Thank you,
God.
Jesus. This is a story about Samuel. And I was coming from chapters 1 through 3. And the story begins with Hannah, one of the wives of Elkanah, and his other wife was Peninnah. Peninnah had children for Elkanah, but Hannah was barren. And the Bible says Elkanah loved Hannah, for when he would go up yearly to sacrifice and worship the Lord in Shiloh, he would give Hannah a double portion to eat because he loved her, even though she didn't have children. Peninnah is called Hannah's adversary in the Bible. She provoked Hannah sore, the Bible says, because Hannah had no children. So every year when Elkanah went up to worship with his house, Peninnah would ridicule Hannah because of her barrenness. And Hannah allowed those words to grieve her so deeply that she would cry and she wouldn't eat. So Hannah prayed, and I believe Hannah prayed every year when they went up and even when they didn't go up because she wanted a child. But this time when Hannah prayed, it was different. She was praying under the unction of the Holy Ghost. She was praying according to God's word. And she made a vow, and this was her prayer, verse 11 in chapter 1. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and forget not thine handmaid, but would give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So She prayed according to the word of God under the unction of the Holy Ghost, and God was ready to move. So he allowed Eli, the priest, to see her. So his plan was being set in motion at that time. And Eli, seeing her lips move, thought she was drunk. So he approached her, but she assured him that she wasn't, letting him know that she only poured out that which was in her soul before the Lord. And I believe, having perceived her prayer to be the will of God, having heard from the Lord concerning her, he bid her go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. That's verse 17. So in verse 11, Hannah prayed. In verse 17, the priest, Eli, spoke a blessing over her, coming into agreement with her for her petition. And in verse 18, Hannah believed, for the scripture says, so the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no longer sad. And in verse 19, it reads, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. No doubt they thanked the Lord for answering her prayer, for she had already believed it to be so. And they returned and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So Hannah received from the Lord. So the order was earnest prayer from the heart, the priest, the man of God, spoke a blessing over her, coming into agreement with her for her petition. Hannah believed, and Hannah received.
Mm-hmm.
Then in verse 20, Hannah gave birth to a son and called his name Samuel, saying, mm-hmm. because I have asked him of the Lord. So Elkanah and his family continued to go up every year to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice. But after the birth of Samuel, Hannah refused to go up until the child was weaned. That's chapter 1, verse 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Her husband, too, was in agreement with her, saying in verse 23, do what seemeth good to thee. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So Elkanah knew that Hannah's prayer was the will of God. Only the Lord establish his word. And it's like right there, you knew that Elkanah knew what Hannah had prayed, because it doesn't say that Elkanah was with her when she prayed.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew. The word that Hannah prayed, the word of the Lord, was the vow. The vow that Hannah made was spoken, like I said, under the unction of the Holy Ghost. And Elkanah knew this. Eli was made aware of this. All three in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I question, how can a mother, having desired a child for so long a time, would agree to wean that child and give him up for the rest of his life?
Mm-hmm.
And the father would commit to such an act, except he first be in agreement and knowing the will of God for the lad. And they only saw him once a year after that when they went up to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the answer is, a mother and a father that knew God, a mother and a father that worshiped God, a mother and father that trusted God, and a mother and a father that believed God. Mm-hmm. They honored his word. So you know, they being Israelites, they had to have been familiar with the law of the firstborn, which says, Exodus 13:2, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and of beast, is mine. And also in Luke 2:23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So Hannah showed her faith and her faithfulness by asking a man child first and later showing her obedience. So Hannah prayed according to the word of God in keeping with the law, and she did as she prayed. For now came the time she had to deliver the child to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And that's 1 Samuel 1:24-28. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. We don't know exactly what age the child was. There were different ages that they weaned the child. But the Bible does say that he was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. I want you to notice, she said first when she made a vow that she would give him to the Lord. And now she was saying that she will lend him to the Lord as long as he lives. I'm gonna get into that later. But right now, I'm going to talk about Shiloh. Genesis 49:10. As Jacob was blessing his sons, namely Judah, he spoke these words, the scepter, Jesus, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver, Jesus, from between his Jesus' feet, until Shiloh, Jesus the Messiah, come. And unto him, Jesus, shall be the gathering of the people. So we learn here that Shiloh means Jesus the Messiah. So when the scripture says she took Samuel to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, what she did was she took the child to Jesus. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Shiloh represents the Messiah. She took Samuel to Jesus. Then began Hannah to sing praises to the Lord with joy in her heart. The Bible says, you know, she prayed. This was a prayer. But some people call it a song or a poem. Either way, she was very excited. 1 Samuel, it's 1-10, but I'm going to read 1-5. And after each verse, I'm going to kind of tell you a little bit about it. So verse 1, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. Horn here means strength. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Now God gave her or them the strength that they needed as parents to present their son to the Lord at Shiloh and leave him there, a very young child. He didn't make it hard. He made it a joyful occasion. and having made a vow, when you get to complete that vow or fulfill that vow, I know for myself how good that feels, because you're honoring, you're keeping your word to the Lord.
Yeah.
And Hannah was joyful, even though she was leaving her child. You know, we see that as hard, but she was joyful because he gave her the strength to do what needed to be done. Verse 2, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. She was able to praise the Lord despite having to leave her only child. She only had Samuel at this time. And you can hear and feel the joy. If you just sit down and read these scriptures, you can hear her joy. You can feel her joy. And you know there's nobody but the Holy Ghost. Nobody.
Great.
Verse 3. Talk no more exceedingly proud. Let no arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Here she's speaking of Peninnah and her children. For you know, if a child sees his mother ridiculing someone and she's doing it in their presence, guess what? The children are going to do it too, because they see their mother doing it. So Hannah knew that the Lord would bear witness to all, and he would vindicate and he would judge.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4, the bowels of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. Peninnah and her children are the ones she speaks of as being once mighty but now broken. The one girded with strength is herself, Hannah. Verse 5, they that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry cease, so that the barren hath borne seven, remember that, seven. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. But I like the verse better in the contemporary English version. And it reads, people who once had plenty to eat must now hire themselves out for only a piece of bread.
Mm.
But you give the hungry more than enough to eat. A woman did not have a child, and you gave her seven. But the woman who had many was left with none. Peninnah and her children had plenty to eat, because they each one got a portion. Peninnah and each child got a portion. Hannah was the one that was hungry for a child, but Elkanah gave her a double portion. So she states that she was given seven children, and Peninnah has none now. She's not bragging or boasting, only stating the truth. God was the judge who handed down his judgments, and his judgments are true and righteous. Proverbs 19:9, Revelation 19:2. For years, Hannah was taunted and vexed by Peninnah. Now the Lord is blessing Hannah, and judgment is being meted against Peninnah with her children. Now, like I said, you could hear that Hannah is happy to fulfill her vow. For this song only came after she delivered the child to the Lord at Shiloh. You hear her speak of freedom from her enemies, that's Peninnah and her children, and they can no longer provoke her, or torment her, because God has blessed her, not with one, but according to her, with seven, while Hannah is bereaved of her children. Now, the way the scripture reads, Hannah bore 5 children after she presented Samuel to the Lord at Shiloh. Now, I looked up trying to understand the 5. This saying 5, she had 3 sons and 2 daughters. But she said she had 7. So I looked up and read several accounts concerning this, but none of the explanations I read agreed with what the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to me. Now, one account states that the 7th child is the Messiah. But we know that the Messiah was born of a woman named Mary, not Hannah. And we know that the Messiah was not lent to us. He was given. The other account, states that the 6th and the 7th child, and this person believed Hannah to only have 5, including Samuel, and the 6th and the 7th child belonged to Peninnah. And what they said was that every time Hannah gave birth to a child, some of the children of Peninnah died. And we know that they died because the Bible tells us that. Until Hannah finally prayed, this is what they said, until Hannah finally prayed and the lives of the last 2 children were spared and accounted as Hannah's children, the 5 now becoming 7. A third account that I read stated that she used 7 for the sake of the poem or the song. But the scripture says she prayed, and even if it were a poem or a song, the words proceeded from her heart with no reason for substitution, only truth. There was no rhyming back then. They just spoke and sang what was in their heart. So this, the Lord gave me this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, we all know that verse of scripture quoted all the time. So I told Lord, I need something else. I need something more to give. So I thought my message was just coming from 1 through 3, but I had to keep reading as I was looking for something. And in chapter 10, verse 6, the Lord is speaking of Saul as he's being anointed king, saying, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, the them being a company of prophets that he had told him he would meet. They would be prophesying, and Saul would prophesy with them. And it goes on to say, and thou shalt be turned into another man. Mm-hmm. That was what I needed to make my point. Now I count 6 children that Hannah bore. The 7th child that she counted as a 7th child was the new creation, the one that was changed into another man, per Samuel 10:6, the one that had been transformed, reborn, the one that was made a priest, a prophet, and a judge. The old Samuel was dead, now being changed into a new man.
Amen.
And per Samuel 10:10, going 10 through 12, and the Spirit of God came upon him. This is still speaking of Saul. And he prophesied among them, among the other prophets. He met them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said to one another, what is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets? And one of the same place, one of the same place answered and said, but who is his father? See, they saw his appearance and knew him to be Saul. They never knew him to be a prophet. So they questioned, who was his father? Well, his father was God.
Amen.
The people of Gilgal knew Saul, who he used to be.
Yeah.
But he was no longer that man. He had been changed into another man.
Hallelujah.
Same thing with Samuel. Hannah remembered the Samuel she gave birth to. She remembered that he was no more. Yet she remembered him. That was her baby boy. She remembered how she nurtured him until he was weaned. So she never did forsake who he was to her before she presented him at Shiloh. A mother never forgets her child. So she was willing to let go, but not willing to ever forget the son that she gave birth to. So she remembered her son Samuel, given to her in Elkanah for a season.
Yeah.
Then she had to let him go to be raised up by the Lord to be a faithful priest, prophet, and judge. And the scripture says the Lord would raise him up one that would do according to that which is in his, in God's own heart and in the mind of the Lord. That's verse 35 of chapter 2. Samuel became another man, a new man.
Hallelujah.
The Lord as his God, father and mother. God was all of that to Samuel. That change came at Shiloh, that is, in Christ. Hannah recognized her son was now a new creation, devoted to the Lord. But as a mother, though the Lord gave her the strength to let go, she would always treasure the memories of Samuel as her firstborn. And even greater would be the man of God he came to be. So in the heart of Hannah, a mother, were two named Samuel. See, he was changed, but he kept his name. God didn't change his name. Because he was born of God. God gave him the name he wanted him to have at birth. Her baby boy that was born in the sin, that was one Samuel, although he was a Nazarite from birth. The other, a man full of the Spirit of God. She separated him, but she reckons herself as mother of two. The one born to the flesh, the one born to the Spirit. There were two Samuels. So then there were the three boys and two girls born to her in Elkanah. But they were only born after they delivered Samuel to Shiloh. So she not only had five, she had the three boys, two girls, and then there was Samuel. But you see how Samuel is separate? She knew it. She knew it. Though Samuel was a servant of the Lord, priest, prophet, and judge, he too always remembered home. Notice she said she would lend him to the Lord for all the days of his life. For the scripture says of Samuel that as he traveled his circuit, he would go home. That's 1 Samuel 7:16-17. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah. And he judged Israel in those places. And he would return to Ramah, to home, to his house, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. Now, when Hannah presented Samuel at Shiloh, she said, therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. So now, you know, she's saying lend and not give. She gave the new man that he became. But she said lent because after his death, she wanted his body returned home. She knew that the one man that Samuel had grew to be upon death would go to be with the Lord, his spirit. But she wanted to reclaim that body of flesh and bury him. And
yeah.
In chapter 25, verse 1, it's recorded that Samuel died, and the Israelites buried him in his house in Ramah. Now, house doesn't necessarily mean the house where he lived. It could be a tomb, a family plot, a single tomb that was prepared for him. But you see, there was one body, but two different men, and Hannah knew this, making the six children that she had now to be seven. So if you've been changed into the new man, a woman, then the old is dead. And just like with Saul, the people that knew him, knew who recognized him, as the Saul that he used to be, but they didn't understand why he was prophesying with the prophets, because he was no longer that man. He
Hallelujah.
Was a new creation.
Hallelujah.
So if you've been called, you've been chosen, you've been sealed, you are no longer the man or woman that you used to be. And just like with Saul, the people that knew you the best, the people that you were around when you grew up, a lot of them will refuse to acknowledge the change in you. But I say, let them have their way. You owe them nothing. You owe God everything.
Yeah.
And as you grow, prayerfully, they will come to acknowledge she's changed. He's changed. He's no longer that person. So you continue to walk in the newness of Christ.
Hallelujah.
There's no going back. I pray that there's no going back for anybody on this line. But that was my message to explain why Hannah saying that she had seven. But in the scriptures, we only read where she had six. Some reckon she only had five, and the other two were two that belonged to Peninnah. But that's not what I was shown. Hannah knew that the Samuel that she gave birth to was no more. But she still counted herself as mother to the Samuel that God raised up.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
I hope everybody received that, because I worked with it. I worked with it to try to make it where everybody could understand it. And I kid you not, every day that I didn't do this message, and every day after that, I would go back to it trying to make it understandable.
Thank you, Jesus.
She saw her son, Samuel, as two different men. That made up the seven. And that's my message. Praise God.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful and timely.
Jesus.
And timely. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
praying.